Well, I'll tell you, getting to hear Robin minister last week and then what Terry just came off of, 14 different messages on raising hell. And I love the definition for raise. It says to utterly debunk, tear down, destroy, annihilate. So to be able to remove the fear of eternal damnation and judgment, you know, if you could just take that out of the way. I love how Terry started. He said, will you permit me to hope? And the Brad Jersak that wrote the book In, that they're going through at the Tysons, I've been listening to a lot of his stuff lately, and he is a scholar and a theologian. What Brad has been talking about, and he actually said in one of the podcasts I listened to yesterday, and he was speaking to he was in a seminary speaking to a group of seminary students, and at that point, listening to him speak there as opposed to listening to him speak, you know, in a one-on-one interview or just speaking at a church, his dynamic changed immensely, and the amount of evidence, scripture, history that he uses to, you know, build his case, if you will, is amazing. But he said the same thing that Terry said. Will you permit me to have hope? Will you permit me to hope? And so I get excited about that because I think that's a thing that's missing in this day and age a lot is hope. People don't have hope anymore. I mean, I've preached funerals for folks that have committed suicide. I have had friends that committed suicide. And it seems like it's more rampant today, not less. And people are looking for hope. I mean, just this week, Kanye West came out with a huge, I don't think they call him an album anymore. It's an EP. He dropped an EP where he is glorifying God. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with Kanye West. Anyway, if you're not familiar with him, I mean, he is an R&B rap artist. One of his favorite, psalms that he did that I enjoyed was Gold Digger. So maybe not as good as this last album, but I was shocked at the number of Christians, fellow believers, church-going folk, if you will, that came out against him to hammer him, to bust him, to call him a fake or call him out. Dude, when you come to your awakening, you got to awake out of a sleep to wake up to something. And if I understand it right, God, Jesus didn't go to the seminary to fetch disciples. He went into the highways and the byways and started calling folks in. And as a believer, I was embarrassed. I really was, you know. Have you ever been somewhere? I felt this way a lot watching American Idol because somebody told them that they could sing well and somehow they got on television and you found out they couldn't have carried a tune in a bucket if they'd had one. And you're listening to them and you're cringing and you get embarrassed inwardly because you think, did nobody tell you? I mean, come on. That's how I felt as I read some of the responses of Christians that maybe on any other given Sunday they would be well-meaning, God-fearing, God-loving, church-going folk. And for whatever reason, this time, they attacked a fellow believer. You know, I don't understand that. That just, it goes beyond me. Because you know what? We need to hope. We need to have hope in this land. We need to start talking about the good news of the gospel and not knocking somebody because they didn't do it your way. I always find it funny when people make fun of Joel Osteen. you know, because he's got a huge church and he's got lots of money and they make fun of him or they pick on him or they call him a heretic or they call him a milquetoast preacher or what. And I'm thinking, that dude don't even know you. You're not even on his radar. And you're picking on a guy that if he saw you, he would help you. You know, we got to start supporting one another. I mean, seriously, we got to start loving one another enough that we look past their failures, their faults, their wallet. We look past it, and we just see another brother or another sister in Christ that just loves the Lord and wants, ultimately, what I hope we all want is relationship. Amen? So that's what I'm talking about today is relationship, and I'm going to be in Matthew, if you want to turn to Matthew. And I'm not like, I don't have lots of scriptures and stuff, so you don't have to worry about. I was supposed to announce on Friday, we are having I wanted to say birthday party, but you call it the gotcha day for Jessica, and it's at 6 o'clock at, oh, Lord. Why didn't you do this? It's 5:30 at Big Whiskey's, yes, on Battlefield, open bar. Yes. No, oh. It is a gotcha day. Praise the Lord. Is that awesome? I mean, it's awesome to watch Renee's family grow, and it's awesome to have Jessica in our family. Amen. We love you, Jessica. All right, I'll put these glasses on here. And I'm in Matthew chapter 11, and this is by far my most favorite verse in the Bible. I love this verse more than all the others. This is my favorite. And I can preach on this every time I get up to preach and say something different about it every time. I love this verse, and it's in the Message translation. And it says this in verse 28, it says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. How many of you could use a little freely and lightly in your life? Man, I don't know about you guys, but drama seems to be rampant in today's society. I shared a little bit last week that my brother had said to me, we're at the barbershop, and we happened to have a few minutes where there was no clients in the shop, and he said to me, he goes, man, do you feel like drama just chases you down, that you get out of one thing and then you're right into another and you just can't seem to shake it? And do you ever just get sick of it? And I say, oh yeah, but I don't let it get on me. I don't let drama chase me down. Lydia and I, when we first got married, we decided that our house, however humble it was, we decided that it was safe. It was a safe place. Do you remember as a kid playing tag or hide and seek or whatever? And you had a base. And as long as you was touching a base, you were safe. Nobody could tag you, you know? And that's what we deemed our house. It's safe. It's a safe place. So it doesn't matter what is going on in the world, at your job, with your extended family. It doesn't matter, because when we come home, we're safe. This is a place where we have love. There's love in this house. There's not going to be drama. There's not going to be fighting. There's not going to be an inroad where people can pick on one another. And this is going to be a safe place where we can be honest with one another, where we can be honest enough that if we're having a bad day, we can express it, blow our top, throw a fit, and you're safe here, right? You're not going to get kicked out. Lee and I decided we weren't going to leave. There was no going to mom's or dad's. We're going to stay here and work stuff out. No sleeping on the couch. Ain't doing that. We're going to work stuff out. And that was a decision we made when we were young and stupid. So thankfully, this decision has still stood the test of time. Like one client, I asked him, he'd been married 63 years. I said, what is the secret to that kind of longevity in a marriage? And he said, you never say the D word in the house. I said, the D word? He said, yeah, divorce. You never say that. I said, okay. He sat there a minute, and he looks at me, and he goes, but you never take murder off the table. You leave that on the table, because you're going to need it. What I love about this is every one of us have either experienced this or we know someone who is experiencing this. Are you tired? Are you wore out? Are you burned out on religion? Now, the thing about religion that makes religion pleasing is if I do this, then I can expect to get this. And so religion can be based on my performance. And with religion, I don't have to build a relationship. There's no relationship duties, if you will. If Lydia and I just abided by our marriage license, if we just abided by that marriage license, I'm married to her, she's married to me, and that was it, and we filed taxes that way, there's no relationship. That piece of paper maybe legally explains to the United States government that Lydia and I are married, but it's the bond in relationship and friendship that we have that causes us to have more than just something written on a piece of paper. Do you remember when T.L. stood right here in this church and he read a quote, an excerpt from a book, and I wish I could remember the name of the book. I'd have to go back. But the author, T.L. quoted, said this. He said, if your relationship is solely based on a Jesus that you only know because of the pages of a book, then I question your relationship at all. Now, when Terry said that, I was standing back here. And I looked out at, I was looking at Terry, but I was kind of looking through him because I was watching reactions. And I saw reactions in the crowd where people, it was like, wait, what? What are you saying? Are you saying it's not about the book? Well, number one, Terry didn't say that. He read that. He quoted another author. Number two, Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, not made book. He's the Word of God made flesh who dwelt among us. He took it upon himself to become like us so that he would understand every nuance of being all human, all the while being all God. He loved you so much that he took that upon himself just so that he could relate to you. That's more than a book. And I'll tell you right now, I tried to build a relationship with this book, with the pages of this book. I've tried to build a relationship with it. Unless I read this book, it don't talk to me. I'm sorry, that's just the way books work. Unless I'm got my glasses on and or can put it on the ground, I can't even see it. Jesus is the Word of God, made flesh so that we could have relationship with the Word. Well, Davey, are you saying that the Bible don't count? No. The Bible was given to us so that we could learn who Jesus is, so that we could develop a relationship. That's my marriage license to Jesus right there. But if my marriage, if my relationship stops only at the license and I don't live with him, I don't commune with him, I don't go out to eat with him, I don't go watch the movies with him, I don't work in the house with him, I don't work outside the house with him, I don't call him on the phone, I don't text him, if I don't do the things that make relationship relationship, it would be no different than if I treated my wife based upon a document only. Oh my goodness, folks, we have got to develop relationships with Jesus to the point that when we get around folks that are unlovely, oh, come on, you're thinking of somebody right now. You are thinking of somebody right now in your head. You know somebody that you are having trouble with. But the love that you can experience with a relationship with Christ, when you start letting Him love you, I'm not even talking about you loving Him, letting Him love you. When you allow Holy Spirit to come and love you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to encompass you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to catch you off guard. How many of you have ever been caught off guard by your spouse? Is that too real for you? You love it. Amen, Raymond. You know, you turn around and there's a special gift for you. You know, I was at the store and I saw this and I thought of you and I wanted you to have it. Oh, that's great. I was just something caught off, you know, it touches an emotion. Do you guys not have emotional ties with your wives or your husbands? Shame on you. It touches an emotion. So I can be in the knife shop working, grinding, working with steel. It's dirty. It's filthy. And if the mosquitoes are running loose, I'm smoking a pipe to keep the skeeters at bay. I can be out there in the knife shop doing that, and I'm listening to a minister, and that minister will say something, you know, just on the Bluetooth. And I begin to weep, and I feel the presence of God. And I'd stop. I have to shut the grinder off. I go over and I rewind whatever I was. Say that again to me, Holy Spirit. That was, oh my goodness, that blesses my heart. You touched me in a way that I didn't even know possible. That's relationship, folks. And you don't have to do it like I do it, okay? Everyone in here knows I'm not much of a hugger. But I hug Lydia. I like to hug her. But my relationship with Jesus, because my dad was strict, because preachers I knew growing up as a child were strict, because if you asked the wrong question, you got called down or actually stood outside the Sunday school class one day, you get out here. You stand right there. You know? People were, you know, a lot meaner back then when I was a young man. So my thought of God, our Heavenly Father, man, I just had this vision that He was awful strict. And that if I did just anything, the slightest bit out of shape, that He was going to get me. And then I had the vision that Jesus came to save me, not only from my sins, right, but to save me from God's wrath, because I was taught that I had a sinful nature. But man, I'm reading now that even in Genesis, they were created. He created man and woman in God's image, right? Will you permit me to hope? Can I have some hope up in this church today? God created man and woman in His image, His likeness. He breathed His life into them. And then Adam sins. Man, they put real emphasis on sin. Adam sinned. Capital S was sin. And it cost him everything. His whole relationship. It cost him all. Wait. Isn't there a scripture that says something about God coming back to the garden? And He said, hey, where is that no good, filthy, worthless animal? No. He called out to him, Adam, Well, we were naked, Lord. We didn't. He said, who told you you were naked? You wasn't naked the day before. Well, we're naked now. Okay. And then he sought about to figure out a way to fix what was broken. Man, we didn't lose our identity. We had it stolen. That was the first case of identity theft. The devil came along and says to Eve, you know, you would be like God if you ate of this, but if you don't want to. Not knowing that they were already like God. Not letting that dwell in her mind. No. Hold on a second. And see, is the fight any different today? Is the struggle any different? No. The struggle's the same. Satan comes to tell you who you're not. Or tell you who you think you ought to be. And God says, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. That's a good identity right there. You can't take that from me. I'm his, he's mine. It says, before the foundations of the world, God loved us. We were in him. Well, let's turn to John, because I'm getting ahead of myself here. It says in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you know that what the implication of that is? If I say, me and Lydia this afternoon, we're going to a wedding together. And so we go to the wedding together. How does that look? What does that look like? If Lydia and I went to the wedding together, we ride in the same car, pull into the same parking lot at the same time because we're together, and we go into the wedding together. And we sit down together, much like you guys are sitting next to one another. Would you say Lydia's with me or that I'm with her? Yeah. And that's why we don't understand what it means in that first verse there. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The connotation of that is so much more powerful than just me and you going to the movies. The Word was with God. The Word was God. When they're together, this is how they are. Facing one another. All their attention is right here. They're not sitting side by side watching something else go on. They are right here. They are with each other. And you think, man, that's pretty cool. I wish I was there. You are, because nothing was made. There was nothing made that wasn't made without him. We were in them, right there in the midst, in the middle, preachers would say, you have salvation. And so when God looks at you, he looks through Jesus-colored glasses so that he can stand to look at you. Otherwise, your sinful nature, God couldn't look on you. You'd burn up if God looked on you without looking through Jesus first. That's hogwash, folks. God loves you. You, just like you are. He loves your personality. He loves your soul. He loves the you that is you. And he loves being able to be in you. The Word made flesh, dwelt among them. And then when Jesus left, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'm not leaving you alone. Don't you know the great thing that's going to happen when I leave this earth? I won't no longer just dwell in a single solitary body, but I will dwell in you. I will be with you and you will be with me. We're not side by side. We're face to face. We are always constantly found in him, in the presence of love of God. Will you permit me to have hope today? That same love that caused the earth to be formed, that same love that called you out of creation, that same love is where you are planted securely. Nothing, no height, no depth, no breadth, no width, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Go on, tell me the scripture verse where God says he'll leave you. Come on, Bible scholars. Come on. Where's that verse that says Jesus, he has favorites, but he don't like you? Come on, give me that verse. Tell me the verse that says he will not take your iniquity away. Where's that verse found? Tell me the scripture where he says you have to be sick so you can learn a lesson here. Can someone give me the scripture verse for that? How about the one that says he's going to put you through a trial? He's going to kill your child. He's going to take away your houses and homes. Give me that scripture verse, will you? Tell me the one that guarantees God will be mean to you. That's hogwash, folks. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You are the apple of his eye. He has on his thigh tattooed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But your name is tattooed on the palm of his hand. He is God Almighty, but he's my pal. You know where Jesus was yesterday? He was in Branson, Missouri, working in the knife shop with me, telling me what a nice job I was doing on the thorn and vine pattern on the back of that blade. He was also there talking to me because I had one of my best friends call me, texted me and said, hey, I'm having a rough day. And when I got that text that says he's having a rough day, will you pray? I said, yes, I will. And as I began to pray, Father interrupted me and said, oh, that one? I'm especially fond of him. Hey, now, if that don't make you want to take off and run like a Terry Bench, I don't know what will. God's especially fond of you. He created you just like you are, right where you're at. All your quirks, all your... God did that. And instead of cursing it, love it. Man, the reason we have a hard time with loving other people is we don't love ourselves. We've forgotten where we're at. We not only let our identity be stolen from us, we let our position be taken from us. Man, I'm not giving up my position. I am in Christ, in him. I am in his glory, in his presence, in his midst. And he loves hanging out with me. And you know, I had to start saying that to myself because I'll be honest with you. I'd been told for too many years by too many preachers that God may love you, but he don't like you. God may have saved your soul, but he's going to ensure that you'll be spotless before he ever comes for you. And if you keep screwing up, God's going to leave you. Man, to my finite mind, I couldn't understand that. Wait a second. You mean God would offer me salvation when I'm a heathen? And then I get saved and I try to live with him, live for him, and now he's going to leave me out of... What? What? I mean, I wasn't no Bible scholar at the time, but I thought that was dumb. Wait, if he saved me, why would he leave me? That'd be like marrying a woman and never sleeping with her. Oh, I'm sorry. We're too holy to talk about that. I'm telling you right now, there was one thing I had on my mind when I married Lydia Wilson. I wanted the wedding to be done. I wanted it to be over because there was a cabin with our name on it. And I was going to tear that place up. That's relationship, I'm telling you. Do you know how excited God was when you awakened to who he's always made you be? Do you know how excited? My vision of salvation has transformed the closer I've become to God. I'm not finding out that I was lost without hope. I was lost, but there was people putting wrong direction signs up in my road all the time. Amen. You got to perform this way. You got to act this way. You got to do this. You got to quit doing that. You can't be around those folks because they are crazy, and you need to walk this straight line. Man, there was just so many rules. There's no relationship when rules... with rules. You agree? No relationship. You're opposing teams when it's rules. That's the truth. We're having the World Series, right? There are rules. There are two opposing teams. They are playing the same game. There's not relationship there. They got one dude that is throwing a ball 90 plus miles an hour at another dude. And that's relationship. There's some marriages that way. True. If you work your relationship down to just a book of rules, it ain't relationship, folks. Somebody's always wanting to be a winner in something like that. Man, you know, when we have a relationship together, we're always winners. We're both winning all the time. My grandmother, before she passed and before she... the dementia took hold of her head. She said to me one day, she said, do you know it doesn't take, she said, marriage is not 50-50. Amen. I said, really? She goes, yeah. She said, it's 100-100. I said, okay. And she said, and do you apologize to Lydia if you're wrong? I said, well, yes, ma'am. And Lydia agreed. She said, oh, that's good. She said, your granddad never apologized for nothing. Always doing stuff wrong, never apologizing. She said he managed to die without apologizing. Okay, Grandma. Whee. It worked, though. They'd been married forever, so 50-some-odd years. He just left early. Relationship is so much more than just this book. If we can't find our way somehow, some way, to getting beyond the words of this page into a relationship where your every day getting up, eating, sleeping, walking around life is affected by a relationship. You know, I never get out of bed one day and think I'm not married. That doesn't happen. I've been on this earth longer married than I've been on this earth not married. Does that make sense at all? I don't know how to act when Lydia's not around. I can guarantee you I'd be a whole lot skinnier because I can't cook and she can. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how I'd act if I didn't have Jesus in my life. For years, I was a singer, and we'd go sing every weekend somewhere. I mean, I have sang If they opened the door, I sang wherever they let me come in. And when I started in ministry all those years ago, they really didn't care if I preached any as long as I sang something. And because of my dad and my granddad, I sang Southern gospel music. And maybe because of the area. But man, I'd go out and sing places and I'd just sing. And every once in a while, my uncle would come and sing. My uncle's a great singer. And he had a great bluegrass band. And he's just a great singer. And then later on in the years, he got more into country music than bluegrass. And we would show up and happen to be at the same, they'd throw a benefit. And we'd show up and be singing at the same benefit. And my uncle would get up and he'd sing a few tunes and I'd mix sound for him. And then directly he'd say, well, I'm going to bring my nephew Davey up here and he's going to come sing with my sister. And he said, I sang for the devil for a while. He said, he'll sing for the Lord. And then he'd step off stage. And we used to laugh and carry on. And I'd think about that and I thought, I really don't know what else to sing. I sing silly songs I make up for my kids, but all I know to sing is about Jesus and my relationship with Him. I'm in love with Him. Better than that, He's in love with me. And I am finding more and more the things that I thought separated us was just things in my own head. Jesus never even looked at it. He didn't care. Oh my goodness. He took care of the sin issue once for all. Done. Will you permit me to hope? That's what I want you to take away today, is hope. When you leave this place today, I want you to ask that question. I wonder if Jesus really did work in the knife shop with him. I wonder if, do you think that fella can have a relationship with Jesus like that? Oh, that dude's crazy. He had too much coffee this morning. I dare you. I dare you to ask yourself, can I have that? Can it be that way for me? I'm not asking you to get saved. The way I'm hoping now, I just see everybody saved. We all going to win. And you say, oh man, that kind of talking like that, you're going to have people living any way they want to. Hello? They're living any way they want to anyhow. Amen. It's called the good news for a reason. I ain't got nothing bad to say. If I ever get to heaven, if that place far away, whatever the idea that we've had of a place, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Can I say it that way? I think the scripture said it that way. So if I'm absent from this body and I'm present with the Lord, and if on that day the Lord says to me, you know, man, Davey, you preached me way too good. You preached me way too powerful. You said way too many nice things about me. You had people thinking I was love. If that day was to come, then I'll take my lumps then. But I promise you, at my funeral, at my home going, whatever you want to say it is, you will not be able to say that I ever said one disparaging word about God or Jesus. You'll not be able to say that Davey was one of them hellfire and brimstone preachers. Hell no, I wasn't. Not me. No. I'm going to tell you that God loves you. God's for you and not against you. God wants you to win. God has big plans for you. And He is involved with you. And if you'll wake up, awaken to your righteousness, to who He's called you to be, you can come out of things that's been hanging on you and go into a new glorious day with Jesus. And it's effortless. It really is, folks. It's effortless. Effortless, like building this physique. It was effortless. effortless. You want to be skinny and good looking like Terry Bench, you got to work at it. But you want to look like me, you just eat the pie, brother. Just eat the pie. All right, stand to your feet. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness and your mercy that you continue to pour out on us. Father, I thank you that I am found in your midst, that there is not one moment of my life that you are not right here with me, indwelling me, filling me up, giving me your wisdom, your insight, taking my cares and my burdens, and just walking this life out with me. Lord, as we leave today, I thank you that we become more and more aware of you inside of us. I thank you that our minds this week, as things arise, that we'll start giving place. Just give place for the Holy Spirit to move. That maybe we won't be so quick to answer, but that we'll stop for a second and listen. And let you answer for us, that you have all answers. You know all things. Jesus, I love you. I glorify you. Father, I know that there's people that are hurting here today. So I thank you that you are the salve that can fix anything. That you can go into each and every situation. You know what those situations are, and that you are actively moving on those situations. Father, I thank you that each person that is facing something in their mind, something in their body, that they awaken to your presence, fixing that right now, touching that right now. Father, anyone in this place is feeling alone or rejected. Lord, I thank you that their eyes will be opened. Their eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they recognize that you have never left them, never forsaken them, that you're always with them. And there's nothing, nothing that can separate us from your love. We give you praise and honor and glory today, and we just continue this communion with you throughout our day. In Jesus' name. Amen.